about time for us to begin our class. Okay. I got the one thing that I think I'm supposed to wait a minute. A few weeks ago, Rob was sitting here going, cut it off. You have to learn all these signals. It is about time for us to begin our class. I don't think the second bell's gone yet, but I was thinking sometimes on some of you have Facebook, and I try to post a little either a humorous or positive comment each day on Facebook. It's my very quick, short contribution to social media. And my thought today, which elicited a lot of response, some of it was private, was tell the people you love that you love them at every opportunity. And I haven't done that in a while, so I'm telling you, I love you, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I love every one of you. I do anything I can to help you get your souls to heaven, or your family's souls to heaven, or your next door neighbor, or whatever. I think sometimes we don't tell each other that we love each other enough. And in response to that, in a very public format, Steve Klein replied, "I love you, Albert," with a smiley face. And what I want to do tonight, I actually want to start the class with a prayer. Two things. Thanking God for the blessings that we have. Steve got real good results this week. Others have been getting some good results from tests. And I know Brother Craig got good results here a while back. Brother Miller, I hope his treatments will continue to go well for him and a lot of others. And we're thankful for that. And I also want to pray on Steve's behalf. He leaves in the morning for about a 12-day trip to South Africa, and he will fly to Johannesburg, have to spend the night, and then catch a commuter flight over to Durban, which by road's a 4.5-5-hour drive for Patty Kindleball. And I found it kind of interesting that a lot of people get to thinking that when we help these preachers go to these places, it's like a glorified vacation. Well, Steve's going to be gone 12 days. He's going to visit 9 locations. Patty has him lined up to speak 14 times at 9 locations. There will be no vacation involved. If he gets a few pictures to bring back and share with us, that might be good. But he's going down there to work, and one of the things Steve asked for is that we would pray that he has provided opportunities to share the word. And I hope that is the case. I hope there's a lot of good results, not only strengthening the brethren in that area, but maybe some good positive results in bringing people to Christ. So let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee so much for the group of Thy people who meet here at this place. We pray that You'd bless each family with good health and in long lives in Thy service. We pray that we might grow to love one another and prefer one another over those of the world and be the kind of Christian family that You would have us to be. Help us to be a shining light to those in our community. We thank You so much for the blessings that You have bestowed upon numbers of our members and their health, and we pray that You would continue to be with all those who have sicknesses and illnesses and treatments, and give them a complete restoration of their health, to be Thy will. We pray especially for Steve as he departs from us tomorrow, that You will bless him in his trip, that he might have a safe and event-free travel both to and from South Africa, but most importantly, that You would open many doors to him in that area, and that souls might be saved through the efforts that he is going to do at this time. Forgive us of our sins and help us to live in such a way that in the end we may have a home in heaven with Thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're talking about boldness tonight. Bold, meaning not hesitating or fearful in the face of actual or possible danger or rebuff, courageous and daring, as in a bold hero. We think of a hero. Lots of times people that we classify as heroes or that the public classifies as heroes, to me are not heroes. Heroes are people doing things without thought of return. It's a spontaneous reaction. Maybe it's something they're doing for somebody because they feel deeply about it. Our men and women in service to me are heroes. People like our police officers, our firemen, paramedics, people like that are everyday heroes just doing what they are expected to do. And then occasionally we have somebody do some fascinating or great thing out of just a response to a situation. And we classify them as heroes, and they probably are. Hero is also described as not hesitating to break the rules of propriety, forward, being someone who would be considered to be a forward or an impudent person. And that would be in the example there. He apologized for being so bold as to speak to the emperor, which would be something that in most cases would not be the case. I put up five scriptures there where bold or boldness is actually used. In Acts 13 and 46, Paul and Barnabas, it says, wax bold, and said it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And so they were very bold in telling the Jews, I like the way he puts that. He's saying, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. And so they said, henceforth, we'll turn to the Gentiles. We'll offer this to them. In Philippians 1:14, it says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And here we see Christians responding to a situation of one being bound, and because of their boldness, the Christians also, it rubbed off. And that's what happens sometimes. One person will respond, and then somebody else will respond, and it just kind of rubs off, and we do great things when that happens. In 1 Thessalonians 2:2, but even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So here, they had been treated shamefully, and yet they became bold in just speaking the truth. They wanted to make sure that God's word was being taught, and that's basically what we're going to be talking about tonight. Being bold in our teaching and in our ability to talk to people and not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In the book of Philemon, verse 8, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ, enjoin thee that which is convenient. It's just a phrase that's used there as Paul is writing this letter to Philemon. It's one of my favorite stories in that, in my mind, I may be totally off base, but in my mind I think of Paul as using a lot of psychology on him in trying to mend this situation. But it's a great story, and he was bold in writing to try to work this situation out. And then the other scripture I have up there, Proverbs 28, verse 1, which is a good scripture to remember. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And that's kind of a deep thought to me. But then I have a shallow mind, so maybe it's not as deep as some of you, but I really like that thought anyway. The wicked, they'll flee when they don't even need to be fleeing, and the righteous, it says, are bold as a lion. So when we think about boldness in Acts chapter 4, and we're going to be focusing mostly on verses 29 through 31, if you remember the context of this chapter, Peter and John have been arrested for preaching. and they're taken before the chief priest and the elders of the city, and you know, they're basically threatened. It says they're arrested for preaching. In verse 8, Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke. It says in verse 13, they spoke with boldness. And in verse 18, they were threatened not to teach in the name of Jesus. And then we're going to concentrate a little bit here on verses 29 through 31, where prayer was made. They came out, they go to the people, and a prayer is made. And it says the place was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke with boldness. In verse 29 of chapter 4, it says, "Now, Lord," this is part of the prayer that's being made. "These men have been threatened. You're not to speak in the name of Jesus." And at this point, the people are really encouraged. They see the boldness of Peter and John, and they're encouraged. And this prayer is offered. It says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." So we see that the prayer is that they might speak boldly. And what's highlighted here are bold print, no pun intended. This was so that they might rise above themselves. In other words, give them the courage to be more than they would normally be. You know, the Army for years had the slogan, "Be all that you can be." Well, this was be more than you can be. Rise above. Give them the strength to speak out, to be fearless in their courage, to testify on the Lord's behalf. And to have, if you look at verse 30, which we're not going to talk about, but a divine confirmation to their testimony by miracles and healing in His name. So the prayer was that they might be bold, okay? So the question is asked, where did they get it? Well, verse 29 tells you, who were they praying to? They're praying to the Lord that they would get this boldness. And verse 31, it says, they were assembled together, the place was shaken, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. So we learn something here. If we want to be bold in teaching others, maybe we ought to be praying for that. Maybe we should be praying that the Lord open opportunities for us, like we just prayed that the Lord will open up doors of opportunity for Steve and Brother Kendall while he's in South Africa. We should be praying that we'll be bold enough to speak to people, and the Lord will open up these doors of opportunity for us that we may speak to them. I had some good friends of mine years ago. I met the guy in college, and then I met his wife and or his girlfriend at the time, and Kathy and I were dating, so we kind of became pretty good friends. And shortly after college, he enlisted in the Air Force and was shipped to Greece. And she told us on repeated occasions, she said it was one of the the ship to Turkey. Let me back up. I don't want to defame the people in Greece. She said it was just everywhere you went, it stank on the buses. It was nasty. It was just, you know, she said it was nothing like what she'd grown up in. And she said she would regularly pray for patience. And she said the more she prayed, the more the Lord was letting her get tested. She said, "I found that if you want to pray for patience, you're going to get tested." But she said it actually helped her mature spiritually because she learned to deal with the situation while he was stationed there. And, you know, the Lord answers prayers, sometimes maybe not the way that we want them answered, and sometimes He doesn't answer prayers necessarily. That doesn't mean that He doesn't hear our prayers. But here, these men were prayed for, and they were granted that boldness, which is evident through their teaching. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 20, Paul asked for prayers for boldness. If we turn to that chapter, we always talk about putting on the whole armor of God. Great passage, a lot of thought. But here's the thing. You get down to the part where at the end of this, where they're actually praying for this, says making supplication. Before you get to that part, you've got to think about what's he teaching there? What are you supposed to be doing? You know, before you ask for the prayer, or before you're doing something, what are you doing? When he's putting all this on, what's he doing? What's the word? He's preparing, isn't he? He's making preparations. And so when we think about putting on this armor, and how much of the armor does it say they put on? They put on all of it. You don't take any chance, okay? You put on all of it. And that's the way we need to be in our lives spiritually. We need to be making preparation. And so, you know, if we're going to pray for boldness, that the Lord will open up doors of opportunity, we're able to teach people or bring people to Christ, or whatever the case may be, we need to be making preparations. Okay? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That would be a place to start, by studying, by making prayer, by making contact with people. I've told young people this numerous times, and when I'm teaching a mixed class with the young ladies in there, I talk to them about prayer, because verse 18 here in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer is one of them things that is a great equalizer for men and for women. So sometimes a lot of people would have you think that in the Church of Christ, women don't really play a role. Women play a huge role. They have a huge role, maybe not as public as the men do, but they play a huge role. Prayer is a great equalizer. A woman has every opportunity and avenue for prayer that a man has. Her prayers go up before God just like a man. I can tell you there's been points and times in my life where I knew women I would rather have praying for me than probably most of the men I knew. It was a point in my life. Good Christian people, male or female, have a huge opportunity for doing good through prayer. It's something that we ought to be using not only daily, but multiple times a day. It took me quite a few years to figure out that I could actually drive down the road and pray. So if you're following me and I'm going from lane to lane, I may be doing that. Or I may just not be paying attention. But you don't have to kneel down to pray to God. I did a study one time. It was just something I wanted to do. There's examples of people praying in the Bible with their eyes lifted up to heaven, standing, kneeling, laying. You can pray in any position, at any time of the day, even when people are around you. You don't have to have a quiet time. Now, honestly, quiet times are the best times for me. It really helps me to concentrate. But here, they prayed for boldness. And Paul asked for this. He asked that this be done. Let me back up and get verse 19. He says, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He wanted to make known to the people what God expected of them and what he wanted them to do. So he asked for this boldness. He asked for it. He asked that people pray for him. And we need to be doing that, and doing that for not only for the men. I think this congregation does a great job in praying. Even the last few weeks, we've had a couple of our members to speak when Steve was away in a gospel meeting. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll have four men speak. And generally, the one leading the prayer will pray that the one speaking that day will have a good remembrance of the things that they have prepared to say. And I think that's a great thing. We need to be doing that. We need to be praying that what's taught here is the absolute, pure, unadulterated truth. As I remember numbers of time, talking with Brother Walden. Don't try to make a verse say something it doesn't say. Well, we don't want that. We want just what the Bible says taught to us. We need to pray that that's being done in our classes. We need to pray that that's being done from the pulpit. And we need to pray for the 20-plus men that we support around the world, that as they speak, they're speaking as the oracles of God. They are speaking the pure truth to those people and converting them to the gospel of Christ. That's what Paul wanted. He wanted the boldness to speak it, and he wanted to speak just the truth. That's all he wanted to speak. Paul asked for these prayers of boldness. He says that I may open my mouth boldly. You think about it when he was in Rome. He didn't have the numbers of people that maybe he had had in the past surrounding him. There was a lot of wickedness going on. He was exposed to death. He was under house arrest, so to speak. And you know, it wasn't the best of times there. But yet, in the latter part of his life, he wanted to speak boldly God's word. He wanted to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he wanted to invite sinners to repentance. That's what we need to be praying for, the same as Paul was preaching for. So the lesson there might be that here's a Christian in chains, he's surrounded by wicked, he wants to speak boldly, and from his example we can conclude that we can even entertain the idea of having a hope of success even in the most difficult of circumstances, the most difficult of times. We might have good things happen. Years and years ago, went to a congregation. It was about 135 people. We had actually started the congregation way out in the country about 5 years before that. There was no congregation in the area. And things were just rocking and rolling. We'd got fully independent in that we supported the preacher completely and he didn't have to get money coming in. And then we started sending out support to other people, just like this church does. And we had two or three men, I don't remember the exact number, that we were sending money to. The area that we were located in was in a rural area between Birmingham, Alabama, and Tuscaloosa. If you've ever been in that area, that is coal mining country. That's all they do down there. It's coal mining. We had about six or seven men in the congregation that were coal miners. Guess what the mines did? They shut down. Guess what happened to the contribution board? It tanked. Okay? You take six or seven men that are fairly good contributors in a small congregation, and all of a sudden, they're unemployed. You know what's going to happen. So, we talked about it. We weren't blessed at that point to have elders, so we had the traditional men's business meeting. And we were trying to figure out, how are we going to accommodate these men as long as we can and let them know we're going to have to cut them off, because our first priority was to take care of our preacher. Okay? Well, we prayed about it, we talked about it, and then we said, you know what, we're not cutting anybody. We're going to figure out a way to make this work. And to this day, I can't tell you how it worked, but the contribution slowly came back up, and we didn't have to cut a single man, but I know there was a lot of prayers being offered. Okay? To me, that was a success under difficult circumstances, because it really, just on the surface, it required that we're going to have to cut some people off. But we didn't. And here's a man in difficult circumstances, and he's praying, and he's still doing what the Lord wants him to do, and he's achieving success. An Old Testament example of boldness in Exodus chapter 14. We know this is the time that Moses has now brought the people out of Egypt. Okay, it says in verse 8, the children of Israel went out with boldness. They were very excited. They'd been in captivity all of their lives, at least the ones at that time. I don't think there's anybody old enough to remember when they went into captivity. So these people had grown up in captivity, and here they are going out. They were very happy. But then all of a sudden, old Pharaoh's heart gets hardened, and here he comes. And where are they at? We'd say they're between a rock and a hard place. Well, they were between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea. And it says they were very afraid. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord. In Exodus 14:13, Moses told them, he said, don't be afraid. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And that's exactly what the Lord did. He fought for them. Now, this was a hard-headed bunch of people. You read through the story of the wanderings in the wilderness, and the number of things that started before they left Egypt, all the miracles they saw, having the presence of the Lord with them day and night, in the cloud and the ball of fire. And how many times did they give up on the Lord? Well, we can't do this. Over and over. I mean, it's mind-boggling. It's a great example here of boldness, both by the people and Moses. If you think back, though, there's other examples. There's so many examples of boldness in the Old Testament. We could spend several weeks just talking about the great characters in the Bible, even some women who were very bold in their service to the Lord. Moses even went to bat for the children several times, and the Lord said, you know what? I'm fed up with them. And I'm just paraphrasing. I'm going to get rid of them. I'm going to make of you a great nation. And what did Moses do? That's right. He had great boldness, didn't he? He's like, now wait a minute, Lord. You know, and I don't mean that to sound, you know, sacrilegious. He went to bat for the people. He told the Lord, let's think about this. Do you want the people to say you couldn't bring them out, you couldn't take care of them? Moses was a great example, though, of someone who was very bold in his fight and what he did, even though he started off, in my mind, very timid, very, I don't want to do this, I can't do this, no self-confidence. But he was a great character who did a lot of great things for the Lord. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 9, all of you know that's the conversion of Saul, the Apostle Paul. And to me, one of the great things about his conversion, here's a man, you know what he had been doing. I mean, you know exactly what he'd been doing. He'd been persecuting the church. He had letters from the high priest to go up and drag men and women out of their homes and put them in prison. He's converted, and what did he start doing? Immediately preaching the Word of God. Immediately he started preaching. It says, he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, and then they attempted to kill him, or plotted to kill him. So we ask this, why would it take boldness for Saul to preach Jesus? Well, verse 21 tells you his history. I mean, he had a history. He wasn't a Christian. This guy was after Christians, so he had that history. When you talk to young people, you need to tell them, you know, you be careful the things that you do in life, because you'll create a history for yourself. When I was a kid, they really threatened us. I mean, they really did. They had us scared. This will go on your permanent record. I never did know where that permanent record was, but it scared me to death. I thought, I better behave then, because this will go on my permanent record. Well, they don't say that anymore, but you know what? There is really a permanent record in there. I mean, there really is a permanent record. And we do have a history. And if our history in shows that we're not the type of person that maybe people think, that could come back to haunt us. Paul had a history. He also had a group of people that wanted to kill him. Who was the group of people that wanted to kill him? The very ones that sent him up there to arrest these people and take them to prison. He turned against them. They turned against him. Okay, so now they're out to get him. So it took boldness for him to speak. And then probably the biggest obstacle in my mind that he really faced was having Christians accept him. And verse 26, he was not being accepted. You remember others had to go to bat for him and say, look, here's what he's doing, here's what he's been preaching, he's been teaching. And slowly, the Christians came around and accepted him. And then he went on, in my mind, to be one of the greatest preachers of the gospel. He spoke to everyone. He was free of the blood of all men. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. From the very lowest person to the highest king, he was willing to talk about that. So let's talk just for a few minutes about our boldness. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, that whole chapter is talking about the mystery, okay? And Paul gets down in verse 11, he says, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Now, boldness here is talking about boldness of speaking. If you have the Revised Standard Version, you'll see it says freedom of speech. They were able to speak freely and weren't ashamed to speak freely. They're very open in what they do. So the idea is that we may come to God now in prayer with confidence through the Lord Jesus. And there's something to be said about boldness. And boldness is not arrogance. And arrogance is not boldness. There's a huge difference. And so sometimes, you know, some people are very arrogant, and a lot of people say, well, you know, they're kind of bold. Well, there's a big difference. Boldness is not arrogance, and arrogance is not boldness. And we need to understand that. So here, though, we're talking about they had this freedom of speech, and they were out there using it. They were very bold in using it, and they were doing it. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, and we're not actually going to read that, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. A lot of denominationalists really do not understand this verse. And I know that because I've heard some of them speak. A lot of them speak before huge congregations, sometimes thousands of people. And I've heard a lot of these TV evangelists at different times, or I've read things that they've said. And where they talk about this, we come boldly to the throne of grace. Okay? Here's what I heard one of them say. God wants us to be bold in approaching him with our needs. Hello, Dad. And that's how he started his prayer. Hello, Dad. Man, how disgraceful is that? That's not what that verse is talking about. That verse is not talking about, you know, putting God on an equal term with you. What it's talking about is having confidence in God. Having confidence when you go to prayer. Let me ask you this. When you pray to God, when you sit down and pray tonight, I know every one of you are going to do that at some point. When you pray to God, do you actually believe God is going to answer your prayer? I mean, really, do you believe that? If you don't believe God is going to answer your prayer, why are you praying? Have confidence in God. That's what that boldness is talking about. Believe that God's going to answer your prayer. He may not always answer your prayer. I have earnestly prayed for people that were sick with diseases that I had ever confidence God was going to heal them. And he didn't. So do you give up praying just because a prayer wasn't answered? Sometimes the answer's no. Sometimes there's just no answer. It's just, that's life. Life goes on, okay? Good things happen to bad people sometimes, and bad things happen to good people. That's life. So we need to be praying to God, but we need to be believing that God's going to answer our prayers. We need to have faith and confidence in God that He's going to answer our prayers. That's true. It doesn't always mean granted. That's exactly right. Hebrews 13 and verse 6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? We can, in such circumstances, while trusting the Lord, confidently apply to ourselves what God said in Psalms 118 and verse 6, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do to me. We've got to remember that God is all powerful. He has all the power. Man has limited power. Regardless of the most powerful man in the world, which we've always said that's the President of the United States because the United States is the greatest country in the world. That's probably close to being accurate. He can do nothing against the Lord. He can do nothing against the Lord. And this is, in my mind, one of the cases where we need to make sure that we're praying for our leaders and praying for our country, because they do some stupid things sometimes. But what do we need to remember? Who's in charge? God's in charge. And if God wants something to happen, it'll happen. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. In 13 verses 5 and 6 of Hebrew, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This was said to Joshua from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. But you think about it, does that not apply to us today? Is God going to forsake us today? There's scriptures, if we get to it, there's one at the end of this lesson we're going to talk about. God's there for us. He's not going to forsake us, okay? So we just need to remember that as believers, we need to believe in the presence of God, and He's going to be there with us in this life. He's going to be with us in death. He'll be with us forever as long as we're faithful to Him. And that is the big challenge, is getting through our lives and making sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. In Genesis 28:15, Jacob was told, I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. God made a promise to Jacob, and He fulfilled that promise. God has promised us certain things. He will fulfill every one of His promises. To the Israelites in Deuteronomy 31 and 6, be strong and of good courage, do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. 1 Chronicles 28:20, David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage, do not fear, be dismayed. He says, the Lord my God will be with you, He will not leave you nor forsake you. These promises are all through the Bible. If He's doing it for those people, He's going to do it for us. Psalms 37:25. I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. A very commonly used scripture. A lot of preachers use that scripture, and it's a very true scripture. And then in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 30, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And you go down to verse 30, he says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? We need to have faith that God is going to answer our prayers, that God is going to be with us. When you're in business for yourself, sometimes you worry, are things going to go the way you want them to, okay? Things don't always go. But I have found over the years, if I just put it in the Lord's hands and don't worry about it, things work out. And that's what we need to do. We need to just put everything in the Lord's hands. And we sing some songs. Be strong and courageous. You host of the Lord, rise up for the battle and gird on your swords. The land of promise is yours now by right. Take all he has given. Go forth to the fight. Be strong and courageous. Through God you will win, though great be the armies of error and sin. Your captain will lead you to conquer the land. His army cannot fail you, and they cannot stand. Be strong and courageous. Consider his law. Regard it with reverence. Perform it with awe. Be careful to follow all God has decreed, for then he will bless you and you will succeed. And then you get into the chorus where it keeps saying, be strong and courageous and conquer the foe. The Lord is with you wherever you go, and it repeats that. When we sing these songs, and we have a lot of great, great songs in a songbook, do we actually believe those words when we're singing? It's like when we sing a prayer. The battle belongs to the Lord. When you go through just reading the words of that song, we have a lot that hits us every day in our lives. But if the Lord's with us, whose battle is it? It's His. You just put your confidence in Him, and He'll be there. I guarantee you He'll be there for a Christian. He's not going to let a Christian fall by the wayside. Not if you're trying to do the right thing. That's not to say, as I had one guy tell me one time, he said, I've been praying and praying and praying that the Lord's going to, you know, give me a new home. And he, oh boy, was he way off in left field. He'd been praying all these things for the new home and the new car and a new raise and all these different things. You know, and I told him, I said, you know, I don't think your heart's right. I said, I don't think you're praying for the right things. I said, you're praying for worldly possessions. I said, you try to get closer to the Lord and live closer to what He wants you to do. I said, He may give you some of those things. What did Solomon pray for? Prayed for wisdom. What did God give him? Every human blessing you could give a person. He gave him a good life. He gave him wealth, health, popularity, I mean, money. Everything you can think of, he got, but he prayed for wisdom. Okay? I appreciate your time. I know the first bell's rung, and I don't want Rob giving me the cutoff sign, so I appreciate your attendance.